I had never heard of it. So we were having breakfast, Marty and I. So on the way home, I went by the bookstore, found a copy of the book, took it home, began reading it that weekend, and it just changed my life. It gives us these skills to use empathy. So I think of empathy as the key, and what it does is it unlocks the part of our hearts, the compassionate part of our hearts. So when I apply the key, the skills to myself, I can be more compassionate to myself. And then when I apply it with a partner, I can be much more compassionate to her, even if she's very upset with me or just very upset for any reason. I can use those skills to really actively listen to her and find out what she's trying to tell me that she feels, and beneath the feelings, what she needs. But it just opens up that compassionate connection.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. And so it basically is the key that unlocks the hidden rooms of our hearts, so to speak.
What we do in that is we cover the four steps of the empathic process or the compassionate communication process. And then we go into some areas like how do you use this to deal with anger, either your own or someone else's angry. Go into how do we use this in our relationships as couples and get through some of the disagreements or misunderstandings that naturally happen.
Of course.
And more specific to couples, I've had several folks either say to me or write emails to me after the training or after the, sometimes I'll do coaching with couples. They'll say, "Doyle, this saved our marriage," or, "This saved our relationship." And that's always so wonderful to hear and to know that, yes, and apply it. It does work. So.
Yeah, it does. And that's very important, of course. And also that you were willing to share these success stories are a testament to the method that it really works. And let me just add that words can really shape our reality. And we use them all the time without thinking that words can both uplift and also it can pull people down.
Learn the format or the formula so that it kind of rolls off the tongue. And then you can customize it, if you will, or personalize it and make it sound more like yourself. First, where we start is I start by helping people develop what I call a goodwill mindset, to see them as a human being, to have goodwill for them. Then the second core concept is developing mindfulness habits. The third part is we've already talked about. Now we build our empathy muscles and our skills. Before you start a conversation, ask yourself, do I want to connect or try to be correct?
Welcome to Love in Focus, the continuing journey. Today, I'm joined by an expert in nonviolent communication, Coach Doyle Banks. Welcome to Love in Focus podcast, Doyle.
Thank you, Rickard. So delighted to be here and to be able to share. It's just wonderful. Thank you for the invitation.
No problem. And let me then ask you, how did you come up with
Yes.
this that you're a coach in, the nonviolent communication?
I had been in a rather short relationship that did not end on the best of terms and was kind of whining about it to my best friend, my late best friend Marty. He asked me, or I said to him, "I need some better communication skills." And he asked if I had ever heard of a man named Marshall Rosenberg and the book that he wrote called Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life. Well, I had never heard of it. So we were having breakfast, Marty and I. So on the way home, I went by the bookstore, found a copy of the book, took it home, began reading it that weekend, and it just changed my life. It just revolutionized my whole concept of how to communicate, both how to communicate my what was going on for me, as well as how to hear it from other people. So that was in early 2009, and it impacted, just reading the book, Ricard, and impacted me so deeply that I just knew I have to share this with other people. This is so good. And so I started offering workshops and classes and so on. And now, what, 15 years, almost 16 years later, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Yes, communication is key in relationships, in all kinds of relationships, but especially romantic ones.
Yes. I've since had one or two other romantic relationships, and one might conclude that, well, maybe Doyle isn't so good at romantic relationships, and maybe not. What I have learned, though, is that the quality of those relationships greatly changed over as I learned more, as I got more skilled, got better and better at meeting my partner where she was at, being able to really connect with her and open up my heart to her and with compassion through those empathy skills that I learned in nonviolent communication. And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. Chemistry and connection are two of the things that women want in relationships, and communication is, of course, a key to open up that kind of discussions.
I love that you used the word key. The way I talk about this is the NVC, it's also known as compassionate communication. It gives us the skills to use empathy. So I think of empathy as the key, and what it does is it unlocks the part of our hearts, the compassionate part of our hearts. So when I apply the skills to myself, I could be more compassionate to myself. And then when I apply it with a partner, I can be much more compassionate to her, even if she's very upset with me or just very upset for any reason. I can use those skills to really actively listen to her and find out what she's trying to tell me that she feels, and beneath the feelings, what she needs. And that's, in the US, we have a saying, that's the secret sauce.
Yeah. exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we connect with those needs. Oh, it just melts the tension, the stress, all the negativity or any negativity. And that's not to say, it might not be negativity in the sense of anger. Maybe, you know, maybe the other person is really sad about something.
Yeah.
But it just opens up that compassionate connection.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. And so it basically is the key that unlocks the hidden rooms of our hearts, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what kind of courses do you offer, and what kind of people have you worked with in the past?
Typically, I'll offer sort of a basics or a foundational course. It ranges from anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks, depending on the group and if the space, the physical space is available and those kinds of logistics. Then what we do in that is we cover the four steps of the empathic process or the compassionate communication process. And then we go into some areas like how do you use this to deal with anger, either your own or someone else's angry. Go into how do we use this in our relationships as couples and get through some of the disagreements or misunderstandings that naturally happen, and by becoming more skilled and avoid having those escalate into fights and conflicts. Forgetting the second part of the question.
Okay, yeah, no, I was just asking what kind of couples that normally seek your guidance and right. Who you have helped coaching.
I've been fortunate to offer this to two couples, both people who have been married for years and years, people who are just starting their relationships, the whole range. I also have been able to offer this to a more general audience, so people come to me maybe because they are struggling with a relationship at work, or maybe they have a child. Often I get folks, parents with teenage or young adult children, and there's been a breakdown in the communication there. And then I've had the good fortune to offer this training to small businesses to help their staff learn how to listen to each other with some empathy.
Oh yeah, that's always important, you know. Sometimes it causes a great deal of conflict when you have these misunderstandings, and also if you don't know what the other person means really, or you misinterpret it deliberately or non-deliberately.
Yes.
Of course.
And more specific to couples, I've had several folks either say to me or write emails to me after the training or after the, sometimes I'll do coaching with couples. They'll say, Doyle, this saved our marriage, or this saved our relationship. And that's always so wonderful to hear and to know that, yes, when someone's willing to listen and learn and apply it, it does work. So.
Yeah. It does. And that's very important, of course. And also that you were willing to share these success stories are a testament to the method that it really works. And let me just add that words can really shape our reality. And we use them all the time without thinking that words can both uplift and also it can pull people down in very in very dark places if you use the wrong words or if you are not compassionate when you are communicating.
Right, right. Dr. Rosenberg, as he was researching to write the book, discovered or realized that, just as you said, language throughout history has been used to control people. And so it's no surprise that's what we grow up, how we grow up, many of us, using language, if that's what has been modeled for us. So a lot of times, as people begin to learn this in my classes and coaching, they're kind of resistant because it's something very different.
Oh, yeah.
Very new.
Yeah, something that goes against their programming, so exactly. to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they'll say things like, oh, this sounds robotic, or this doesn't sound natural.
And yeah.
My encouragement is always, it's like learning to play piano.
Oh, yeah.
You have to learn those skills, or scales,
yeah.
I should say, to learn.
Oh, skills. Yeah. Yeah.
And same with nonviolent communication. Learn the format or the formula so that it kind of rolls off the tongue. And then you can customize it, if you will, or personalize it and make it sound more like yourself. And when we even just use the formula initially, as awkward as it might be, it still works very well.
Yeah, it does. And active listening is also a part here in communication skills. It's not always that you talk yourself and that you are being, as I call it, all in your own head, but that you actually take a step back and listen with compassion and without thinking that the other person has a hidden agenda. Just listen to what they actually say. That's very important in all kinds of relationship, and especially romantic ones, of course.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I'm actually in the process of writing a book that I'm calling The Art of Connection. And it's built on three core concepts, and you alluded to them just now. First, where we start is, I start by helping people develop what I call a goodwill mindset. The Buddhists have a lovely term, they call it loving kindness practice. And it's a way of opening the heart, again, with love or compassion, whatever you want to call it. Gandhi had the concept, the word he used was ahimsa. It means having no enemy image. So we're not looking through those lenses of, oh, you know, they're an enemy right now, or I've got to get power over them or win, right?
Yeah.
Taking off those lenses, those enemy glasses, if you will, and seeing
yeah.
the person as a human being, and holding the intention to see them as a human being, to have goodwill for them. Then the second core concept is developing mindfulness habits.
And yeah.
Mindfulness is really about remembering or keeping the mind full of something.
Yeah.
So we practice is keeping the mind full of goodwill.
Yeah, of course.
Work together.
Yeah.
And then the third part is, we've already talked about, now we build our empathy muscles and our skills. But we've got the goodwill, we can remember to marshal his main question that he had people kind of memorize was, before you start a conversation, ask yourself, do I want to connect or try to be correct? What's my intention?
Yeah.
If I have goodwill and I'm being, and my mind is full of goodwill, my intention is generally going to be, I want to connect. Then the empathy part is almost, is pretty easy if we have those other pieces in place.
Yes.
So, as you said, the act of listening, that was another thing that Dr. Rosenberg really emphasizes in his book, is that our presence is the greatest gift we can give to each other. Our non-judgmental, no agenda, just, I'm here, I'm listening, I'm here with you and for you.
Yeah, that's true. Just that level of compassion and not looking into your phone or being in the whole maelstrom of social media and so on. Yeah, that's absolutely important, just to be there in the moment with the person that you're supposed to be there for, because that's actually what relationships are, that you do things for the other person that makes their life easier, not necessarily your own life.
And we don't have to exclude ourselves either.
True.
The connection, and one of the objectives, if you will, or goals of compassion and communication, is to try to get as many needs met as possible. Sometimes we have the resources and can come up with the strategies to get pretty much everyone's needs met. Sometimes it doesn't quite work out that way, but we can get enough needs met that the relationship holds together and stays healthy.
True. What is the one key, you think, to a healthy relationship when we talk about that? Or is it many keys, perhaps?
I think you just answered it. It's a few, at least. And some of the most important ones, I think, are the attitude, the willingness to connect, for sure. And I see this with couples. Sometimes they've gone so long that they've lost touch with, why did we, and you may have heard this, why did we even get together in the first place? They have forgotten.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just the sexual attraction or that, the physical chemistry.
Sure.
They got together because they saw something in each other that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And they have forgotten that. So getting them back to, okay, are you willing to connect? Because if you're not, this is going to be a pretty short conversation and not really even a conversation.
True, then it will be a monologue, not a dialogue.
Yes. If you're willing to connect, then I can help you listen in a way and speak in a way that will create a better, deeper connection. And from there, then you can go on to get to the point where, okay, I hear what you're needing, you hear what I need. Now, what kind of strategy can we come up with together to get as many of these needs met as possible?
Yeah, togetherness, that's so important in relationships. Not just focusing on what I want or what you want, but what we both want, and help each other setting up those goals. And I talk a lot about me time and we time also on my channel. And that's important because, you know, you need some time away from the relationship to become a better partner in the relationship. And then you need to do things together to strengthen your relationship as well. And that's absolutely where I believe that nonviolent communication can play a key part of it. Because, as you said, compassion. And listen to each other without judgment. And also the whole mindfulness is also important. You know, be present in the present, not focus on what's for dinner tomorrow or anything, you know, remotely like that.
Right, right. Yes, totally. I totally agree. We, like you were saying, we let our minds spin off and we forget to stay in the room, metaphorically, emotionally, physically. We might physically be in the room, but every other part of us is...
Yeah, mentally we're somewhere else, yeah, for sure, for sure.
And that creates disconnection, or it breaks the connection.
So true.
I was saying that sometimes women will say to me, I can't get my man to listen to me. Or they'll say, Doyle, I've never had a man listen to me the way you do. And I'll tell them, I was not always like this. I had to learn. And if I can learn it, anybody can learn it.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I'm coaching women in about their relationships with their partners, what we'll do is I'll give them some tools to use on how to get his attention and make sure that they have it, and then how to keep it, and how to do that without getting to the point where they're totally frustrated or heartbroken or whatever the case might be, but to do it with some ease and joy and confidence.
Yeah, that's very important. I remember that I've heard a couple that had been married for 50 years, and the man just said that all he ever said to his wife was, "Yes, dear, you're right, dear." Which isn't the best kind of communication skills. He would really be helped with nonviolent communication, I think, and with you coaching him to become a better listener than just saying those words. So if people want to connect with you, where can they do that?
They can reach out to me at my email, which is Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E, at doylebanks, all together, .com. And then I also have a free gift to offer to your listeners and watchers. It's a guide called The 7 Strategies to End Misunderstandings. And I believe you have the link and we'll post that.
Yes, it's in the description below. And that's also your email address and all the rest of the links to your social media that you've sent to me. So I have included that in the link below. So you can check it out there if you're watching this on YouTube.
Right. And if they're not watching on YouTube and want to find me, I'm on Facebook. It's The Connection Advantage, all squished together into one long word. Instagram is a little more complicated. It's the_connection_advantage.
That's good. And with this, I thank you so much for your time, Doyle. And I thank the listeners and watchers as well for taking the time to listen to this episode of Love in Focus, The Continuing Journey. And I, as always, I'm your host, Rikard Österholm. And thank you so much. And don't forget to like and subscribe and check out the links in the description below if you're interested of working with Doyle.